Okay, yesterday we started the dinim of Bedikas Chametz. We're discussing any room that you bring Chametz into during the year, you have to search for Chametz. Now, this year, Bedikas Chametz is not Friday night because, again, it's Shabbos. So we do it a night earlier on Thursday night. The reason you do it at night, there's two reasons. Number one, that's when people are home. During the day, people are not home. Because ideally, Bedikas Chametz should be Erev Pesach in the morning, you know, before the last time you should. But it says people are not home. Secondly, you have to do it with a candle. And a candle shines better at night than it does during the day.
Now, you're supposed to go to your dark side and get the chametz out. Isn't that the whole idea?
The dark side of the person or of the chametz in the wall? In the,
no, dark side of the person.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
That night, that's
Well, it has to do with... you're right. That's how Pich said this. But it's, I'm talking about halachically now. Okay, now, the time of Bedikas Chametz begins at nightfall. So therefore, half an hour before nightfall, you're not allowed to eat a meal. You're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to even learn. Why? Because you're afraid we'll get involved in the eating or the work or the learning that you'll forget to do Bedikas Chametz. But if you're in a shul and you have, let's say, Mincha Ma'ariv, and you're learning between Mincha Ma'ariv, it's not a problem because everybody will remember eventually that you have to go home and do Bedikas Chametz. Now, technically, Ma'ariv, there's a whole question in Halacha. So if you daven with a minyan, then you have to daven with a minyan and then you go home to do search for the Chametz. Because otherwise, you're not going to get a minyan back afterwards. It's impossible. Now, what happens if a person never davens Ma'ariv with a minyan? So according to Halacha, he's supposed to first do Bedikas Chametz and then daven Ma'ariv. See, if you always daven in a shul, so that's what you're used to. So if you don't daven Ma'ariv, you're going to go home and do Bedikas Chametz. You're going to forget to daven Ma'ariv because you're not used to davening Ma'ariv on your own. But a person davens always on their own, ideally should do Bedikas Chametz first and then... So now the question is like this. Seemingly, Ma'ariv should come before Bedikas Chametz anyway. Number one, Ma'ariv is, it's called Tadiv, Sheina Tadiv, more common, less common, the more common thing goes first. Ma'ariv is every night of the year. Bedikas Chametz is what? Secondly, Kriya Shema is biblical mitzvah at night, to do Shema, and Bedikas Chametz is rabbinic. So why do we say that if somebody always davens Ma'ariv alone, he should first do Bedikas Chametz? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Kuntusach and Shechunor, the Alter Rebbe explains that because the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz is really this as soon as nightfall begins, when there's still Ksas Oran Yom, when there's a little bit of daylight, meaning right before nightfall. So therefore, even though seemingly Ma'ariv is more important than Bedikas Chametz, biblical versus rabbinic, but you still, but again, in most cases where you have a minyan, but before, otherwise, you're not allowed to eat a meal half an hour before nightfall. You're not allowed to do work half an hour before nightfall and things like that. And not only that, if you did start, then when it comes nightfall, you have to stop doing whatever you're doing and you have to do Bedikas Chametz. Now, what?
It's the same like Hanukkah? If you're
Hanukkah is not Hanukkah. We're talking now about Pesach. Hanukkah is done until next year. Yeah. Okay, now, when a person, we said yesterday, well, the Gemara says, you have to do Bedikas Chametz in every room that Chametz is brought into during the year. That includes, by the way, cars. If you eat in your car, especially you have carpool with kids, there's plenty of Chametz, as everybody knows, in the car. So you have to really clean out the Chametz because the car is a real place where Chametz is brought into during the year and you're planning to use it, Pesach, Chol HaMoed at least.
Including the trunk?
Huh? That includes the trunk if you're planning to use the trunk during Pesach. During Chol HaMoed. You're going on a trip, you want to put something, you're going shopping, you want to put something into the trunk. So the trunk, in between the seats. So, ideally, the best thing, practically speaking, because to clean out a car, the best thing is to get a guy to detail your car. They take out the seats. They do a perfect job, hopefully. That's worth it because it takes, if you want to do a car right and it's really dirty, it takes hours, literally hours, to clean a car properly that there's no chametz anywhere left. Same thing applies to women's purses, pocketbooks. Women put candies in, they put gum in, they put a piece of cookie in, whatever. It could be, there's chametz there a whole year. So those things have to be searched for the chametz. Now again, what happens if somebody is not planning to use this car at all during Pesach? Not using it. So technically he can just put it in his driveway and sell it with the chametz.
It's on its sell it.
Sell it to the guy with the chametz. No, you're going to get a ticket overnight in Beverly Hills. You can't park overnight in Beverly Hills. And by the way, that means you can't move the car to change side of the street for the parking either. You know? Okay. Now, you have to do... In fact, the Rabbeim were very into this. You have to... Little kids' pockets. So a lot of kids put who knows what in their pockets, you know? Food, candies, ABC gum... You know, all these things, all the already been chewed gum, that's what it stands for. And they put it in their pockets. So you have to go through the pockets and the clothing and make sure there's no bedikas chametz. Okay, now we learned yesterday, what?
So if you have an office and you're not going to the office, it's the same as the car?
Correct. If a person is not going to go into the office at all during Pesach, he does not have to do bedikas chametz. He can put that address on the list of what he's selling with the chametz. If a person is planning to go into his office during Chol HaMoed or into his workplace, yeah, then you have to do bedikas chametz in all the rooms that you're going to be going into. Now, we'll learn later, but just to mention it now, you could do bedikas chametz earlier. You have to do bedikas chametz at night. That's number one. Okay, you have to do bedikas chametz at night. But you're allowed to do it a few nights earlier if you want. Not to leave everything for the last night, because it's very hectic. But halacha is like this. If somebody, let's say, has an office, okay, and he wants to, let's talk this here, Thursday night is bedikas chametz, and Monday night he wants to do bedikas chametz in his office before he goes home. It's night already, he wants to do bedikas chametz. So you could take a flashlight, no bracha. The only time you make a bracha is when you do bedikas chametz, the night of bedikas chametz. Okay? That's which this year would be pre, but it's Thursday night. So if somebody wants to check their office Monday night, at night, you go with a candle or you want to take a flashlight, go all around the office and the places that you're being chametz into, then you could do that. In fact, Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, if you really want, you could do bedikas chametz in your whole house before the night of bedikas chametz, but you have to leave one room for the night of bedikas chametz to be able to make a bracha. You don't want to do a mitzvah without making a bracha. By the way, it's one of the few brachas you make one time a year. They always ask kids, how many brachas do you only make once a year? No? Okay, there's bracha on trees, the bracha of candle lighting on Yom Kippur, and bedikas chametz. The brachas of bir chametz, you only make it once a year. Okay, now, so therefore, if you, somebody wants, what? But it's the same bracha, just the ending is different. So you have the Shmonesu Yom Kippur. I mean, come on. So the pearl, if somebody wants, they can do bedikas chametz earlier, as long as they leave one room for the night of bedikas chametz that they can make a bracha. But they have to be very careful. If I do a bedikas chametz Monday night in my house, and Tuesday the kids are running around with food, or you decide to have coffee and cake in the room, you have to do bedikas chametz again anyway. In other words, when you do bedikas chametz and you don't want to have to do it again, you have to make sure no chametz is going to be brought into that area before that. So then technically you're allowed to do bedikas chametz. What?
But by placing the shtickle off the bread, doesn't that automatically deteriorate the kavyachol? So you can clean your whole house perfectly, not even leave one room
No, but that room that you're doing bedikas chametz in, where the 10 pieces are, or the rooms where that you have to make a bracha in it.
No,
yeah, but you have to do bedikas chametz in that room. You can't just pick up the 10 pieces of bread. And that's it.
No, that doesn't
you get no. No, you don't. We'll show you in a second. You don't. Halachically, you don't even have to put down the 10 pieces of bread.
Okay, you're killing my fun here. But okay.
I know. That's why my job is to kill people's fun. That's what I get paid the big bucks for.
ABC.
What?
We ask this question every year. What if the place you work is always dangerous? You can't go out there, like that area downtown.
Okay, so then what a person could do is during the day, if they do a good cleaning, so to speak, in the office, and they check with flashlights and you have the electric lights, passably it's okay. It's not the best thing. The best thing is to do it at night. But if you can't go at night, you can do it the other during the...
only if you're not selling. If you're selling your office...
Nobody says he's going to go in there, let's say, during Chol HaMoed. If somebody's going to go in there Chol HaMoed, then you have to do B'dikas Chametz. Yeah.
If you're not going to your office at all, and you sell it, but you know there's going to be other Jews over there, you have to worry about them, or they have to worry about themselves?
Well, it's your Chametz or their Chametz? No, not necessarily. No, this is a very important point. What happens if the guy's a company or an office, right? And he has Jewish workers, non-Jewish workers. So no Jew eats chametz and Pesach. That doesn't exist anywhere in the world. But goyim eat chametz. So now the goyim are going to come into work during the week and they're going to bring in their chametz sandwiches, cheeseburgers, and rye or whatever. So now the issue is like this. We learned the other day, you cannot own your chametz or see your own chametz. It's their chametz, it's their business. Now, what happens if somebody has a housekeeper, even in a house? Let's say you have a housekeeper. So a lot of them bring their own food. So on Pesach, you still don't want them eating their tray for food or chametz stick of food in your dining room or kitchen. So then, if they bring their own food, you have to let them, tell them, ask them to eat outside. You know, in the yard or whatever. Secondly, if you're feeding them, then you're not allowed to give them chametz. That's for sure. I mean, that's, you know, you're not allowed to feed them chametz in your house because then you're benefiting from the chametz that you're feeding them. So the same thing in the work. You're a boss, let's say, a firm worker that's doing b'dikas chametz in his office. He has to make sure his area, his desk, which is exclusively his, is clean. Everything else that's not his chametz, it's not his problem. And if their issue, their issues. I mean,
so
you know.
If a person has pets, they can't eat chametz.
No, you can't feed a pet chametz. And therefore, there's lists of kosher pet food, dog food, cat food, bird food. Huh?
Kidney
is, you're allowed, even Ashkenazim are allowed to benefit from.
Right, that's what you feed your dog.
Yeah, well, it depends. There's a lot of foods that they know is kosher l'Pesach. I'm saying there's lists of even companies. Basically, it's companies that don't have grain. That mean that don't have grain in it. They have meat, fish, whatever.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. Oh, you own
a farm. You own a farm and you live somewhere else in the city. Can you have a guy give all these different things? If you sold everything, can you have the guy go feed animals, the regular food?
No. If you own a farm, I'll give you another example, which is more practical today. Somebody's going away for Pesach. Okay, leaving the house for Pesach. They have a dog. The dog needs to be fed. So what like a good neighbor, State Farm is here, so you'll have somebody come and feed the dog. Yeah? Now, they can't feed the dog chametz. Even if they buy the chametz, they can't feed the dog chametz. Because your dog is benefiting from chametz on Pesach, and therefore you're benefiting from chametz on Pesach. Oh, so the only way it could work, if you can't tell them to feed the dog only kosher for Pesach food, right? So what you need to do, you have to sell, but this is complicated, it has to be done through a rovim. You basically have to sell the dog to them, and they pick up the dog if it's pick-upable, if it's not a, you know, bomb. Then you could acquire it by pulling it, which is a form of a kinyan plus money and everything. You sell to them for Pesach. And then you buy it back after Pesach. But they got to understand that they're actually literally, legally buying the dog. They're going to be kind of dog. It's their dog.
What about if you leave the dog in a kennel? You know, professional places, that's what they do?
Yeah, but again, if they're feeding your dog chametz, you are benefiting from the dog, from the food.
Rabbi, I have a question.
One second.
You go to the, you know, there obviously you know
what it is. I know what it is. We're on Foothill.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're at Dog Hotel.
They drop off the dog.
They're nicer than Waldorf Astoria.
Right, so the guy brings the dog over there up the block.
Yeah.
You drop off your dog there for Yom Tov. And that's it. You're paying him rent.
So bring food and say, my dog has a special diet. Feed him.
No, I understand that, but I'm trying to understand.
What you're basically doing, if they feed your dog chametz, you are benefiting from chametz.
Even though the dog is in their possession.
It's not their, it's your dog. They can't say, it's okay, I got it, now it's my dog. It's your dog. They're taking, they're watching it for you.
So how about the vegan meal? Food for the duration of Pesach?
That's Pesach, Dick.
Now, the dog may not eat it, that's not your problem.
No, no, because you have to give them food that they can only eat for Pesach.
That's not your problem. The dog runs away.
They have to give Pesach, Dick, food.
I was going to ask, if it's benefiting the dog, cheese and meat, because I was...
You can't feed a dog a cheeseburger either. And many of the, by the way, forget Pesach a second.
Right.
Many, all the books, the Kashrus books are all writing about this every year, I mean, for many years. A lot of dog foods and cat food, if you look in the ingredients, have meat and milk.
Right.
Now, it depends. Halachically, if it's pig and milk, it's not forbidden to benefit from. If it's beef, I mean, it's a kosher animal, and milk, you can't benefit even though the animal wasn't shechted. So let's say you have a dog food that has pork and milk. That you can benefit from. Or chicken and milk you're allowed to benefit from. But if dog food, year-round, forget Pesach, has beef and milk, you're not allowed to give it to your dog to eat.
Kosher beef would be like,
it's still forbidden.